Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, very quickly, welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards here, live Saturday, March 31st. We're here at our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going after the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. What started off as a show limping into broadcast this evening has become a very, very busy show, and I was trying to manage the time efficiently at the end of the first hour, but we just ran out of it. And certainly wanted to give our featured guest of the first hour, my very good friend Richard Spencer, the final word on the Trayvon Martin story that he's been covering before we move on to the next guest, Kevin McDonald, who is already waiting in the wings. Richard, back to you for a final word.
Sure. Well, I guess what the last caller was talking about is that we're going to lose because, you know, the liberals don't want to talk to us and they run the media. And I just wanted to say a couple of things to that effect. I mean, the first is I think we should have any illusions about the distribution of power. I mean, we don't have a lot of it, but I think we should be having these conversations amongst ourselves. We should really learn how to talk about it and stop using the language of either the mainstream media or academia or so on and so forth. I think we should develop our own language and teach others to speak it. So, you know, I think in our little ways, we can have a major effect. The other thing is that I think what this whole Trayvon Martin case signifies on a much deeper level, and one that's not directly related to the facts of the case, is the fact that so many of white Americans have really been running away from the Trayvon, symbolically, but also quite literally. We have abandoned major American cities, major American cities like Philadelphia or Detroit or so on and so forth that really defined this country in certain ways. We've kind of abandoned them, and yet we haven't really wanted to talk about the reason why.
Absolutely.
And I think most of the people listening to this program know that reason, and that is black crime and black general social dysfunction. But we need to talk about that, and we need to face that issue seriously and, you know, drop a lot of these lies that the white community tells about the fact that we search for good schools or so on and so forth. We should really face up to these facts, and before you can ever overcome these problems, you need to define them accurately.
Hey, Richard, I am glad you decided to stay with us through the extended break that comes at the top of each hour, because that was well worth the wait. And thank you for putting the exclamation point on your commentary tonight. Great job.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
My pleasure as always. And I want to encourage everyone listening tonight to check out and support Richard Spencer's work at alternativeright.com. Richard, thanks again. I want to remind people also that joining me in the studio for the second hour to co-host the program with me is none other than Bill Rowland. I've been talking to Bill for the last 2 weeks about this. We tried to get Bill on last week. It didn't quite work out, but Bill made himself available this evening, and he is ready to talk about Trayvon Martin, this whole phenomenon, the impact of it, what it means for us as whites, with all the anti-white rhetoric boiling about in the media, what it means for us culturally, and so much more. Also, another man who is doing this at his website is our next guest. He is a tenured professor of evolutionary psychology at California State University, Long Beach. He is the editor of the OccidentalObserver.net, a director of the American Third Position Party, and so much more. Truly, the intellectual heavyweight of the political cesspool's guest list, Dr. Kevin McDonald. Kevin, I thank you too, my friend, for coming on with such short notice this evening. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be back here on Political Cesspool.
It's been far too long, and again, I know I called you literally 2 minutes before showtime tonight, and you worked us in on extremely short notice, but, you know, I had to post. Your article on this matter was so good, I had to post it, repost it, I should say, at the official internet headquarters of our radio program this week, Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman reaffirming the anti-white religion. Since I knew this was going to be the primary topic of conversation tonight, I wanted to bring you on, Kevin, for just a short 10-minute interview to allow you the opportunity to break down this article that you wrote. What did you say in it?
Well, the basic idea was that this whole crush of the media on this Trayvon Martin thing is basically reaffirming this whole religious ideology that the fundamental basis of our country now is white people victimizing black people. I mean, that's sort of the mantra that keeps coming through the mainstream media. So they're, in this case, it's really, as the facts become more and more known, it's really not fitting very well. The perpetrator wasn't really white. The victim is not this 14-year-old little angelic boy. You know, he's a 6'3" drug dealing thug. You know, probably a burglar and everything else. It's really an amazing thing, though, to see this absolute deluge of the media. And especially if you go on, you know, sites like MSNBC or the sort of, you know, real mainstream media, the LA Times, New York Times, which coined the term white Hispanic in honor of this thing.
I thought that was unprecedented. I'd never seen that before, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing to see it. I think that one thing I noticed is that even on the mainstream conservative sites, I was watching Sean Hannity, you know, he's really taking the opposite point of view here, that Trayvon Martin probably was assaulting this guy, he's not sort of just falling in line here. And I think, I'm sure he's conscious of the attitudes of his audience, which are, you know, vast majority white people. They don't want to keep hearing this anymore. Especially when it's so far-fetched in this case that, you know, if you listen to these black congressmen, they're sort of like Trayvon Martin was hunted down like a dog, you know, they use that phrase, and completely innocent, just, you know, standing around and somebody, you know, shot him or something like that. Just insane. We'll see, but I'm hoping that more white people start to get on board with the idea that this mantra has to be challenged, and it has to, it's completely, false. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about the fact that black people are much more likely to kill whites than the reverse and that kind of thing.
Well, and not only that, Kevin, I mean, we've brought up some far more heinous stories that have happened within the same time period as the Martin Zimmerman ordeal. Stories of black-on-white crime and murder and rape that certainly have a racial animus that have not gotten any coverage whatsoever. Whereas in this story, of course, there is most likely race wasn't a factor. It was just
right, that was in my article. I mentioned that case where the black kids threw gasoline on the white kid.
Right, sure.
Talked about a white boy and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that never got to me.
No, and we talked about that last week as well. I mean, sure, you got within the same time as this story, three black kids attack a white kid, pour gasoline on his head, set him on fire, said, "This is what you get, white boy." Folks, we're bringing Bill Rowland into the conversation at the top of this next segment, right after the commercial break. He'll join me in this interview with Kevin McDonald and share his thoughts on the story, which we've all been waiting for. Kevin with us for one more segment. Stay tuned.
America has lost her way. Lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you in the political cesspool this evening. Kevin McDonald, our guest this hour. I've used the word once tonight. But when you're talking about a guy like this, you can't use an adjective like incomparable enough. The incomparable Kev McDonald. Check out his work at theoccidentalobserver.net. And Kevin, again, I want to thank you for coming on with such short notice. I know it's kind of a quick interview tonight. Perhaps we can have you on again even as early as next week for an extended interview on this subject. But we have you for one more segment, and I want to bring in my co-host, Bill Rowland, to pick it up from there. Bill, you're on with Kevin McDonald.
Dr. McDonald, it's an honor to ask you a few questions. I don't think we've ever been together on the show, but I'm delighted that we're here together tonight.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I enjoy it.
You know, one thing about blacks, that having grown up in the South and been in Memphis during the riots in 1968 after King was shot here, is that there is almost an organic and an automatic groupthink among blacks when it comes to the issue of race. And by that, I mean that there is an emotional component and an impulsive component that seems to bring them together almost as a single organism to, you know, confront whites and to you know, demonstrate and to provoke situations like the one in Florida. And have you done any kind of studies on that, or have any information on that about, you know, why and what it is about blacks that forms this this particular behavioral characteristic?
Well, it's interesting point you're making there. I do think that blacks in general tend to be more aggressive, more impulsive, more sort of pleasure seeking, and so on. A lot of data on that. Phil J. Philippe Rushton's theory, Professor Rushton's theory. So-called RK theory definitely describes that blacks that way. There's a lot of research on that. And I do think that as blacks feel that they have more power, we're going to see that more and more, this sort of sheer aggression in your face. You know, people like Al Sharpton come to mind, you know, where they're just manning the barricades and coming out with all this bombastic stuff and very aggressive. And unfortunately, so many whites these days are just, you know, weak-kneed and cowardly and mea culpa, my fault, and all this kind of stuff. So we have to stand up to that. But, you know, it's like a very important thing to realize what these people are like ultimately.
Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about the groupthink of whites and what our survival strategy could possibly be in the face of this, reckless hatred, to quote the Lord of the Rings, this reckless hatred against the men of the West. And exactly, why is it, do you think, that whites have not developed the same sort of survival strategy in terms of coming together as a group and resisting what is obviously a serious and ominous threats against our safety?
That's true. You mentioned this sort of groupthink among blacks. I mean, there are all these stories, about, like Jewish doctors, created AIDS in the black community and that kind of stuff. They have all these conspiracy theories, and they're completely impervious to any facts or anything. It's just not based on anything. And they go around the black community, and they can't be dislodged by any facts. You couldn't. So, like right now, if you came up to the average black person and started talking about Trayvon, talking about his characteristics, talking about his fault in the situation, and that, they're just not going to listen. I mean, it's not even part of the. It's just not part of their culture in a way. And actually, there was an interesting thing at this university in Florida. This black student just went crazy in a class, and this there's a video of it. It went viral on the internet. Ramsey Paul has a great, very humorous comment on it, which I think I posted on my website, but where, she just went off, and it was like she was impervious to any kind of logic. She, evolution, the whole theory equals racism, and that was all she needed to know. And it was like just completely emotional and screaming and all that. And that's just a sort of style in the black community. And it's not rational. And it's very intense, very emotional, and it's aggressive as can be. So, it's like, I think that's what we're seeing now. And when they feel they have more power, they got the president now, they got Obama, they got the attorney general is black, Eric Holder. And I think they're feeling their power and feel they can, just sort of get their way. And, it's a sort of harbinger of what this country's going to be like, say, if things keep going the way they are now. Imagine what it's going to be like in 20, 30 years when whites start to be a minority. They have even less political power. Whites are going to be victimized like you just can't believe. And the government's not going to do a thing. I mean, even now, I'm sure you guys have been talking about all the black-on-white crime. The government really doesn't, they prosecute it. If it's a crime, they don't talk about hate. It's sort of suppressed in the media. Well, I think in 30, 40 years, you're going to have out-and-out victimization, and they're not going to do much about the perpetrators at all.
Well, Dr. McDonald, I it seems to me, in fact, I can state, I think, with confidence, that the biggest problem is a failure of assimilation. And the fact remains that the blacks in this country are descended from blacks that have been here for 300-400 years. And the failure to assimilate is an indication that there's a component that cannot be explained away as social conditioning, as poverty, or some of the other excuses that have been used. That clearly there is a as I say, an organic reason for this. And it seems to me that my concern is that whites seem to be marching right off the cliff. There was a picture I saw on Yahoo News of a white man probably in his 60s sitting in a group of blacks wearing a hoodie. I mean, what mentality could possibly explain this sort of, a farce, almost an absurd situation where a man is basically putting on the uniform of his enemy?
That's right. But it's the power of the mainstream media. And I think, I'm in psychology, and I read some of the social psychology, and they have this view that, if you keep repeating these messages, that it becomes part of it becomes a sort of reflex among whites eventually. And they start to, they're very, like everybody, we can be influenced by the media. And so you get these messages over and over and over again. And pretty soon you see these white guys who are acting as so-called wiggers, and they're acting black, and they're doing the signs, and they're doing all this stuff, that blacks do. And it's pathetic. I agree. They're the enemy, and they don't see that. They really are not aware of how they've been manipulated, really, about all this. But you're actually right about this assimilation. We've had 300 years of life here. They've had you've definitely had some blacks move up in the middle class. A lot of that is due to affirmative action. But the reality is, you have a huge percentage of blacks that really, no matter what you do for them, you cannot give them a college degree. They're just completely out of that loop, and so that is the group that is not going to be able to assimilate to white cultural norms. They're always going to be a problem. Their big issues are going to be police brutality and shootings and stuff like that, because they are going to be in that situation where they're criminals of various kinds and prone to drug use and just not able to really get into the working world. So, yeah, there's such a high percentage of blacks doing that and it's just no hope, because, I mean, I'm sure you're aware there's a lot of evidence that IQ and criminality and that kind of stuff is strongly influenced genetically, and those traits are going to persist. They've had more than enough time to get out of it. All of these programs and all the money that's been spent, it's not helping, it's not working, and so ultimately we have to deal with a very large group of people like that.
Hey, Dr. McDonald, we're coming up on a commercial break. I want to thank you again for coming on tonight in such an unexpected manner. I would love to have you back on to extend this interview if we can do it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get in touch with you over email in the next couple of days, and we'll see what we can work out, what your schedule will allow. But thanks again for coming on tonight. It's been entirely our pleasure.
That's great. Really appreciate it, too.
Kevin McDonald, everybody. There he goes, a true hero. Show's not over, though. Bill Rowland and I are coming back right after these words. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Taking a breath here. Sigh. Letting it all out. The logjam has been alleviated, but I tell you what, we went from one brilliant guest to another brilliant guest, and now we're transitioning over to a couple of brilliant co-hosts, Bill Rowland and Eddie Miller, sitting in here with me in a particularly hot studio this evening. It's hot as a furnace up in here this evening. All right. It's, yeah, the show within the show. Bill, thank you for being patient, my friend. You know, I had no idea what was going on after Keith's last-minute mulligan, so I started booking them up hard and heavy, but I tell you what, you can't do better than Richard Spencer and Kevin McDonald. But Bill, you've been waiting equally patient. And by the way, great interview with Kevin there, that last segment. You've got a lot to say about Trayvon Martin. Again, everybody knows the details. We're giving them the commentary, the likes of which they won't get anywhere else. Bill, it's basically just yours to drive here. Where do you want to start?
I think that the aspects of the Trayvon Martin case and of George Zimmerman have been talked to death, frankly. And the point is that with Al Sharpton and Ben Jealous of the NAACP and Jesse Jackson get involved, that ought to be a telegraph message to the country of what's really going on. And the Trayvon Martin case was not a news item from the perspective of ordinary crime. These type of crimes take place all over the country all the time, or people defend their homes from black criminals all over the country all the time. And whites are victimized by black crime all over the country all the time. James, you raised the statistic that was brought up by Pat Buchanan in his latest article. Young black males, 2% of the population, commit 33% of the crimes in this country. That's a racial statistic as much as anything else. Now, what's really going on in terms of the agenda and the objectives of the NAACP, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and the usual gang? Well, first of all, there are two things. One is the law in Florida that was enacted and passed and enacted by the Republicans there, by conservatives, the Stand Your Ground law. And what that means is that if you feel threatened or you're being menaced, you have the right to defend yourself with whatever force necessary to ensure your own life and safety. And the second thing is the hoodie. Now, this has become the symbol of black, I guess you'd say Trayvon Martin and young blacks, is the hoodie. The black warm-up suit with the hood on it, which is pulled down low over their faces. And as we saw all over the country, people were putting on hoodies in churches and schools and standing up for Trayvon. Well, of course, this sort of herd mentality, particularly among whites, is a farce. It's ridiculous, and it's a shame to watch. But this is the second thing, the second important aspect of this case. Because the fact is that Al Sharpton, the NAACP, circle like vultures over the whole country, looking for an issue which they can exploit and capitalize on. And they chose this one, I think based on the mistaken belief, that George Zimmerman was going to be an older white man living in an all-white community and shot Trayvon Martin impulsively, thinking he was under threat. And I think they put the machine in motion before the true identity of George Zimmerman came out. I don't think they realized that he was, in fact, biracial, Hispanic, a Democrat, and an anti-racist. Apparently, all of this is true about him. Well, it doesn't matter because he had been selected for execution, and they had to move forward with this. They already had the story written. How could they deviate from that? You know, they couldn't change the script, so that they just had to take the actors on stage for what they were. So, they couldn't change the script because the wheels were in motion. This is a big operation. Well, you know as well as I do, James, that Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and the NAACP aren't going to take up any cause that has no capital to it, and it cannot be exploited for money.
I got to say one thing, because Eddie brought this up when we were having lunch with Keith. He said, we got to call the president of La Raza and say, why aren't they defending their boy here? Because you know, if, as we said earlier, Zimmerman's race would have switched from white to Hispanic had he been shot by a white person, had the actors been somewhat different in the story. Well, so what's going on with La Raza? We know what's going on with the black community. They're either calling for violence or doing what they do. La Raza said they are ashamed that Zimmerman considers himself to be Hispanic. They, apparently, from what I've read, completely just hanging him out to dry here. I mean, it very interesting.
That's a very Soviet thing. That's a very Soviet mentality. That once the enemy of the state has been identified, you have to go ahead with his persecution. So that's what that is. And La Raza, of course, has the same agenda as the NAACP, has the same agenda as the black militant gang. And so they don't want to lose that, that connection. So they feel that there's more currency in staying and remaining a left-wing militant organization on race than actually protecting one of their own. Now, of course, he'd been an illegal alien, it'd be a different story. They may have had a little more, may have a little more interest. But since he's a citizen, he's not worth their time. But this brings up an interesting point, too, James, and it has to do with self-identity. This is a big issue of the left and liberals, is the self-identity, identifying yourself. How do you self-identify? How do you self-categorize? So Obama, for instance, self-categorizes as black, even though his ancestry is half white, half black. He self-identifies as black. Exactly. And so if you're half Hispanic, you can self-identify as Hispanic, as Jessica Alba does. You know, Jessica Alba, for a long time, the Hispanic actress, young actress, believed that she was Indian and not more non-white. And then she had a genetic test and finds out she's overwhelmingly a white person, but she still self-identifies as Hispanic and non-white. Right, right. It let the wind out of her balloon, but nevertheless, the facts are facts. And also people the twisted, depraved, and perverted sick minds who say, I'm a woman instead of a man. That self-identification has been legitimated by the left. Even though all physical characteristics aside, they self-identify as transgender or women or men or whatever, a la Cher or now Chaz Bono. So the self-identification thing is very important. In the case of Zimmerman, however, they completely throw that out the window and identify him against his own self-identification, white Hispanic, even though he self-identifies as multiracial, Hispanic, and so forth. So that proves the utter hypocrisy and double standard they play out when it comes to how you identify race. But getting back to the hoodie issue and getting back to the stand your ground, I think almost certainly, as did blacks and liberals during the civil rights movement, the black gang, black militant gang, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and so forth, chose this as a flashpoint for, one, getting rid of the Stand Your Ground law, and two, putting themselves in the position of challenging or even generating lawsuits against establishments, private establishments, which don't allow people to wear hoodies on their premises. This includes almost every bank I go into. If you walk into a bank, the first sign you're going to see is, no, don't wear sunglasses, head covering, or hoodies. I don't know of a single convenience store in a black neighborhood that doesn't have the no hoodie rule printed pretty plainly on the door, because this is the modus operandi of black criminals. They walk in, they pull the hoodie down over their faces so the security cameras can't get a good look at them, they rob the store, and they run out. But the hoodie has become the standard costume of the black urban class. And so that is now being protected or defended as a legitimate cultural apparel for the urban class. And so I guarantee you there's going to be a movement against the anti-hoodie signs and the anti-hoodie, why can't I wear a hoodie in your store or your bank? And there'll be some challenge to that. But also the Stand Your Ground rule is one of the big targets, and they're going to try to do away with it.
Bill, I mean, again, this is why Bill's on the staff. I mean, right, Eddie, give him a round of applause. I know you want to. There you go. Well, Bill, thankfully, our opinion doesn't matter because the facts have come out. Never mind the fact that the night Trayvon Martin was killed, it was like 80 degrees in Central Florida. So, those hoodies, who wouldn't be wearing a hoodie in 80-degree weather? because I was down there that week, and I know how hot it was. But nevertheless, we know what Trayvon was doing that night. I mentioned it earlier on the show. We know why he was going to the store, and we're going to get to the news story right after this. Bill, we got about 10 seconds to break.
Very quickly, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the interesting parallels in this story with historical parallels, and see if the media plays that out as well. And we'll get back to that right after the break.
Stay tuned, everybody. We're coming right back at you.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Bill Rowland with us for another segment here. Again, continuing coverage, commentary, opinion, analysis about the Trayvon Martin story. We're trying to bring you objective coverage here, the likes of which you won't find in anywhere else, frankly, at least in radio. I mean, you've got the Occidental Observer. You've got Alternative Right, the websites of our guests this evening, Kevin McDonald and Richard Spencer, respectively. But, Bill, as you know, And I mentioned this again once earlier tonight, we now know what was going on the night Trayvon Martin was killed, which, again, as tragic as it was, why is it this big of a story? Why has it become some sort of an anti-white Beacon. Well, according to a news story, this just came out last week, and again, I want to say it was on the Huffington Post or something with at least a shred of relevancy. I mean, you know, certainly not credible in our eyes, but credible as far as establishment media goes. And they said basically that the reason Trayvon was out that night was because he was taking a break from his SAT studies. He had an interest in becoming an aeronautical engineer, and he needed to go get some Skittles at the Quickie Mart to give him that sugar rush pick-me-up so he could continue his studies and get into a good college. And that's what was going on. Then he noticed that Zimmerman was following him, so he called his girlfriend to let her know he was scared, and she said, well, maybe you should put your hoodie on. Why that would help, I don't know. I guess they thought maybe it would be a cloaking device of some sort, but it just didn't work out. And who knows what happened after that, but that's the way it all went down. So there you have it. One less aeronautical engineering student is with us now.
Well, excuse the pun, but that story just don't fly. Obviously, this is a concocted version of events, and I'll go on record saying that suddenly he's become virtually a rocket scientist, I guess. But getting back to some historical perspectives on this hoodie issue, you know, James, the beginning of the civil rights movement had to do with the creation of the NAACP, and the beginning of the civil rights movement in the early 20th century was all directed against the Klan. And what were the supposed, things about the Klan that were so negative? Well, one, that they were conducting vigilante justice in defying the law and conducting vigilante justice like lynchings and public gatherings where they call for the death of some particular individual. Two, that they were disguising themselves in hoods. And James, you and I both know we've been accused of being the Klan without hoods. You know, I don't know how you can be in the Klan and not have a hood, but in any case, the point is that they're still using that association against people who've never worn hoods. But the hood became the symbol of domestic terrorism, of night terror, of riding around and menacing people in the dark. And this was all an aspect of the dreaded Ku Klux Klan, the very organization which spawned the civil rights movement and which is still used as a dark chapter in American history. But if you look at the behavior of these blacks in Florida, it's reminiscent of exactly the things they accused the Klan of doing: terrorizing people, vigilante justice, and wearing hoods. I mean, what do they know so little about history that they don't realize they're mimicking the very organization that they so long vilified and hated and held up as a terror organization? They're doing the same thing, and yet they don't seem to grasp that. But what's interesting is that it was back in the 1970s, it may have been before that, the Supreme Court actually ruled against laws in various southern states that prohibited the wearing of a hood in public that obscured your face. And as an effort to stop the Klan back in the early 1900s and early 20s, southern states actually enacted laws to prevent people from wearing hoods in public. And wouldn't it be ironic if these hoodie issues go to the Supreme Court and that law is used as precedent to say that you can indeed wear your hoodie because we ruled that the Klan could do so back in the 1970s. So you could wear your hoods now, too. Yeah, that the very law which protected the Klan's use of a hood would protect their hoodies. Maybe that'll give them a little food for thought. I doubt it. Yeah, a long pause, but I doubt very seriously whether that will happen. But the point being is that the very things that black civil rights leaders, so-called, have accused and have long dreaded about the Klan and talked about the Klan as this terror organization, you know, that loomed over the South forever. They're doing exactly the same thing that the Klan did in the 1920s, or at least they say the Klan did in the 1920s. And vigilante justice. We've seen that. We've seen the hoods. And so all I can say is you've become what you hate most. You've become the very thing that you campaigned against for all those years. Congratulations. Congratulations. Except now, instead of a grand dragon, they have a reverend, you know, a reverend doctor or a professor or something. They, you know, they don't have grand dragons and grand wizards and so forth.
Yeah, you know, Jesse Jackson actually had a slip of the tongue. And I'm sure if pressed, he would have said he meant this in a different context. But he said that, you know, he was in Florida to stand with the Martin family because killing black boys is big business. And he got that right. It's big business for him. He certainly made a living, the likes of which we'll never know, off of all this stuff. But, okay, Bill, we got a couple of minutes left with you. Where does it go from here? And how much longer does it last? How much longer can this last?
I think the good news here is that this big campaign against George Zimmerman is falling apart. For one thing, the Sanford, Florida Police Department, I think, has shown their real mettle by standing up to these thugs and refusing to go against the laws of Florida and just arrest a man for specious reasons. They are not dragging him to the gallows before a trial. They have stood up to this gang and apparently are waiting them out. The second thing is that Zimmerman's family has stood by him admirably and have defended his right to do what he did. They say it's regrettable that Trayvon died, but on the other hand, Zimmerman was protecting himself. And many of the people in his community are standing behind him as someone who was a helpful, kind, and always looking out for his neighbors. So they may have really run aground this time on going after and victimizing someone for the sake of their racial prerogatives. And the shakedown also, probably the state of Florida, and private institutions as well. I think that they have a looming disaster on their hands. More importantly, I think there's the strong possibility that this Trayvon Martin case, if it's properly pursued, could be politically damaging to President Obama, because he's thrown his lot in with with Trayvon Martin's family. He also has implied that Mr. Zimmerman is guilty before a trial. And so I think this may have political repercussions for Obama as well. I certainly hope so, because certainly he had no business sticking his nose in an issue which was as explosive and inflammatory as that, simply to try to make points with his black constituency.
Emailed question, Bill. Two questions, actually. Trayvon Martin had a cell phone, as we know, at the time of the incident. Why didn't he call 911 to report someone following him if he felt that he was the one likely to be victimized rather than the aggressor? And secondly, when he ran, as the story states, at some point did occur, why didn't he run home?
Well, I don't think the hoodie crowd ever dials 911 unless they've got a gunshot wound and need an ambulance. I mean, I can't think of a reason he would... even considering calling 911 when, according to what we know right now, he followed Mr. Zimmerman back to his car and confronted him there, that Zimmerman was no longer pursuing him, but he was actually, in a sense, on Zimmerman's turf. So apparently he didn't want to have any connection with the police, is the only thing I can assume, is that he didn't want the police around him anywhere because he'd already had a few problems with the police and didn't want any more.
Well, Bill, so there we have it. That's the coverage. We haven't done this much coverage on a single issue since we had Obama Dear Pappy back here, and Keith, we're going at the Southern Baptist pretty hard, which is, of course, mine and Eddie's shared denomination. We did that for about 4 weeks in a row, so 2 weeks of pretty hard Trayvon coverage. I know you've answered this to an extent, Bill, but we got 30 seconds left. This story ends how?
This story ends with, I believe, Al Sharpton and the civil rights gangsters leaving Florida with their tail between their legs, but shouting the whole way as they leave. And I think that there may be some attempt to get Mr. Zimmerman to agree a plea bargain to involuntary manslaughter or something, just to get this off the books, in which case he wouldn't serve any time, go through diversion. I think that might be a tactic that both the Justice Department and the state of Florida may use to resolve this issue.
Bill Rowland, everybody, give him a big round of applause. The show wouldn't be half as good without him, and it wouldn't be good at all without him tonight. Bill, thanks for your contributions to this story and to this program this evening. We'll be back with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who will be my wingman for the entire third hour. Stick around, folks. We'll be back.
Coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.